Going to be reading a rather familiar story this morning from Mark 4, 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Weathering the storm. We all have storms in our lives. Sometimes we have good, peaceful times, but we all have storms in our life. And the great thing about Jesus is if you have faith in him, he will get you through those storms. We have things that happen that tend to get us all excited and frustrated and in a fury and all different things. For example, did you know that the bathtub was invented in 1850? The telephone was invented in 1875. So just think about that for a minute. You could have sat in the bathtub for 25 years without the phone ringing. Never fails. You get caught up in some situation, you just get in the tub, or you just start some little project, and the phone rings, or the baby cries, or something crashes in the house, and we get all excited and wonder what's going on. And we have a hard time finding peace in all that. Dante, I'm sure you all know who Dante is, a great poet from the Renaissance, he was exiled from his home in Florence, Italy. Depressed by all this cruel turn of fate, he decided he was going to walk from Italy to Paris. He wanted to study philosophy and he wanted to try and find the meaning of life. In his travels, he found himself very tired, very weary. He was forced to knock on the door of the Santa Croce Monastery. He was looking for refuge for the night. And normally you would think, if you knock on the door of a monastery, some nice friar or priest is going to come to the door and smile and welcome you in. He knocked on the door and it flung open and the priest come out there and he says, "What do you want?" Dante answered him with a single word, "Peace." H.G. Wells was one of our best educated, most creative men of our time, but he was also an atheist. In his autobiography, he says, "I cannot adjust my life to secure any fruitful peace. Here I am at 65, still seeking for peace. Dignified peace is just a hopeless dream." Peace is a beautiful word. Peace is something that we all strive for. And it's funny, you watch the pageants and what's the most popular thing? World peace. Everybody's looking for peace. But in our fast-paced society, we have a hard time finding peace. We've got something going all the time. We never have time to slow down. We are living in a busy, busy world. So stress is constantly with us. Anxiety's in our dreams. We're always worried about, am I going to be downsized out of my job? Am I going to be ill for a long period of time? What if our next project fails? The disciples were not the only ones looking for peace in that storm. So where do you find peace? That longing in your heart, where do you find that peace? The disciples found peace by asking Jesus. And then Jesus kind of scolded them for, "You didn't need to be afraid. I was here. All you had to have is a little faith. That's a recurring topic in the Bible. You'll notice that Jesus is constantly saying, all you needed was a little faith. They could have probably stopped the wind and the raging waves themselves if they had just had enough faith. Karen Fair tells about her 3-year-old daughter, Addie. She was having trouble sleeping. So her mom would put her to bed at night and tell her to pray to Jesus and everything will be okay. Well, she would pray to Jesus, but it didn't quite work. The sleepless nights continued, and she was constantly seeking comfort in mom and dad's bed. Finally, one night, Karen asked her daughter, Abby, if she had prayed to Jesus for the fear to go away and help her fall asleep. Abby goes, yes, Mom. He told me to come and get in bed with you. We all find peace in different places. Jesus tried to assure the disciples that there is peace, that we can calm the storm. There are ways of weathering whatever storm we're in our lives. Those little setbacks or those things that give us fear and terror, all we have to have is a little bit of faith. And the disciples, they were like, well, don't you care? Don't you care if we're drowning? And Jesus was like, what? Why are you so afraid? I mean, to me, if I had witnessed all the things that I'm sure they had witnessed at this point, the healings and the removing of the demons and all those things, I think I could have had a little faith, thinking, wow, if those things can happen and Jesus tells us all we need is a little faith, then why would you be afraid? And I guess you could turn that around and say, why are you afraid today? Do you have faith? Do you truly believe that all you have to do is ask? Do you truly believe that Christ walks beside you, the Holy Spirit is in you, then why are you afraid? Why do those storms of life cause so much distress in our lives? And there's really no reason for it. We have no reason to be afraid. But fear is at the heart of most of the problems we face in our daily lives. It's all about fear. The opposite of faith is not doubt, which most people think, well, you doubt or you have faith. Really, the opposite of faith is fear. Because if you don't have faith, you fear things. If you have faith, you should not fear things. But we tend to go through life with a lot of preconceived notions from our experiences or from the experiences of others that we've become aware of. We develop these notions of how the world is, how life is. There's a pastor, John Walton, tells about a commercial, TV commercial that ran quite a few years ago. And it kind of goes like this. There's a car. It's been in an accident. It's laying on its side. And the woman inside is screaming and she can't move. She's frightened and in shock. And you see 3 young black kids run to the scene. And you just know what they're going to do. They're going to steal her purse and run off and leave her, right? Preconceived notion. But these 3 young black kids, one of them goes over towards the car and tells the other two, go get help. And he kneels down and tells the woman, we've gone to get help. Don't be afraid. I know how to help you. And the commercial is actually a Shell gasoline commercial about safety, about knowing the ins and outs of your car, about how to be safe. But you can imagine, as you're sitting there watching that movie, the first thing that pops into your head, like I mentioned, when those three black kids go towards that car is, oh my Lord. Because we've been conditioned that way. We've been conditioned that that's where urban crime comes from. But that's not necessarily true. But we go into life with those preconceived notions, the idea that this is how things are. And it causes fear. It gives us that negative emotion, that feeling of, oh God, how am I going to get through this? Or, oh God, I hope they don't hurt her. And we see life that way. We see things that we don't feel like we have control over. We worry. We have resentment. We have hatred. We have guilt. We have all those negative emotions that come out of fear. And we're just looking for some peace of mind to help us. But fear comes from reality, the reality of life. Someone that had made a recent trip to the beach, when they got back, they made the comment that, I discovered I scream the same whether I am being devoured by a great white shark or if a piece of seaweed touches my foot. And that's true of most of us. Whether we think about it or not, the little things in life tend to make us fear just as much as the big things in life. We tend to turn little molehills into mountains. We tend to just blow up the little things from our fear. We worry about looking foolish to others. We worry about not fitting in. We worry about abandonment. We are driven by one sort of fear or another. And Jesus says to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The best way to conquer fear is through faith. You have to truly believe. Writer Gwendolyn Diaz tells a story about a trip her and her family took. They went to North Carolina, the Appalachians. And they went to this mountain they call Grandfather Mountain. And when you get up there, there is one of those swinging bridges that's made out of rope and wood. It goes across this ravine to another mountain on the other side, a cliff. And if you cross that bridge and get to the cliff on the other side, you can see a beautiful scene of the valley below. Gorgeous. But you've got to cross the bridge to do it. Well, she's not real keen on going across this wooden rope bridge. They've got three boys with them. The two older boys go tearing across the bridge, just like boys do. They get about halfway across and the wind starts to pick up and the bridge starts swaying. But the two older boys think, wow, this is cool. And they continue across the bridge. Well, the little baby brother, he wants to have the same kind of fun. So he starts across the bridge. But when it starts moving, he gets scared. So he grabs a hold of the side. Dad thinks, I better go see about him. So Dad goes out on the bridge, walks up to little Zachary, and tries to reassure him. He tells him, take my hand. Let go. I will take care of you. Well, you can imagine the little boy's mind starts going all different directions. Wondering, is he really going to help me? If I let go, am I going to fall? And you can just imagine the thoughts going through his head. But he suddenly reaches up and grabs Dad's hand and starts skipping across the bridge because he's got a hold of Dad. even though the wind is gusting and the bridge is swinging, he doesn't care anymore because he knows Dad is going to take care of him. And that's why Jesus tells us that we have to be like children. Matthew 18:3 says, "Unless you change and become like a little child, you shall never enter the kingdom of God." And that's the kind of trust that we have to have in our Father. We have to trust that he takes us by the hand and he leads us across that chasm, that 80-foot drop on that swinging, swaying bridge to get to good things on the other side. He helps us to weather the storm. He takes us by the hand. And that's the kind of faith that matters. Faith knowing that Christ is there for you. Knowing that he's going to get you through whatever storm you're facing in life. You just have to trust and have faith. In the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, there's a story about a young man, veteran, ready to marry and settle down, but he has a problem. He stutters. And that causes great fear within him. He doesn't want to be around other people because it bothers him. He doesn't want people to think poorly of him. But he needs to get a job because he's wanting to get married and settle down. Well, he heard that there was a candy company in Plant City, Florida, and they were looking for a route driver. He'd also heard that the owner of the company, a man named Miller, formerly stuttered. So he thought to himself, this is perfect. He will understand how I feel, and he'll give me a job. So we went and interviewed with Mr. Miller, and they talked about some various things, and Mr. Miller asked him point blank, why you want the job so bad? And the young man says, well, because I need the money. For a long time, it got quiet. Mr. Miller didn't say anything. He knew what the young man was going through. But he looked at the young man and said quietly, I'm not going to give you a job. And the young man looked at him dumbfounded. He says, oh, don't get me wrong. I think you would do very well. It just so happens that I don't really have an opening for you right now. But then he reached in his desk drawer, pulled out a piece of paper, it was kind of worn and tattered, and handed it to the young man. He says, I'd like you to take this home and read it. Read it every night for a month. Of course, at that point, knowing he wasn't going to get a job, he's barely listening. But he reached out, took the paper, folded it up, stuck it in his pocket. They said goodbye, and in his tears of disappointment, he went home. That night, he felt totally depressed and dejected. Who wants a stutterer around? He felt defeated. And he started to take the paper out of his pocket, and he was going to tear it to shreds. He was that upset. Something made him unfold that and read what was on that piece of paper. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. He read through it again, and then again. And it was like he saw the light at the end of the tunnel. Light bulbs went off in his head. And he thought, wow, this is great. And he started pondering that prayer, the serenity prayer, and he says, accept the things I cannot change. He could work at easing his stuttering, he knew that, but he could probably never really change the way he talked. Courage to change the things I can. What he could change were his fears, the fear of stepping out of his shell, trying to be somebody, the fear of thinking bigger than he had been doing. Then he came to the phrase, God, grant me the serenity, and here he knew was the key to that whole prayer. He wondered when was the last time he had actually thought about God, that he had actually reached out to God. Well, years earlier, when he was a kid, he went to church with his parents, just like most of us did. And he had prayed to God then. But then he wondered, how long's it been since I forgot about God? But suddenly he knew and he had the feeling that God had not forgotten about him. Remember I said something made him unfold that and read it? Something is always God. There's a reason for everything. So soon he was asleep, had a restful night, felt pretty good. And he kept thinking about that serenity prayer. He thought back about the days when he would go to church when he was a young boy and remembered that he liked to sing. He also remembered that when he sang hymns, he didn't stutter. When he talked, he stuttered. But when he sang hymns, he didn't stutter. And he also discovered that he liked to write songs. He loved to sing songs and write songs. And so he got up the courage one day to take some of the songs he'd written to Nashville. He thought maybe somebody will listen to his work. Well, one thing led to another, and he finally wound up with an audition with Minnie Pearl. He was scared. As he went into the studio, he kept praying, "Your serenity, Lord, your serenity." The audition went real well, and Minnie Pearl hired him as a backup musician and a songwriter. And he was grateful. But he longed to be a solo performer. Then in 1970, singer Glenn Campbell, you know, he had a variety show in the evenings on TV. He found out about him and wanted the young man to come and talk to him at the show. And they would rehearse and they swapped jokes, and Glenn Campbell discovered that even though he stuttered, he had a great sense of humor. And the neat thing was that the stuttering kind of added to the impact of the humor. He was terrified because Glenn Campbell asked him to be on the show with him. Called his wife and says, "I think I'm going to back out." And she assured him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And afraid, he thought to himself, well, that was really all it was. It was just fear. He hung up the phone, put his mind back on that scrap piece of paper with that serenity prayer, and thought to himself, "God, grant me the serenity." And thought through that whole prayer in his mind. And I'm sure most of you know who I'm talking about. Mel Tillis. The man couldn't speak. I mean, he stuttered all the time, but he could sing beautifully. Wrote some great country songs. And he got through that because he beat his fear. Because God grant me the serenity. He knew God was with him. Even though he had been away from it for so long, he had forgotten about God. God had never forgotten about him. And God never forgets about us. If you're no longer close to God, who moved? It wasn't God. We did. God's always there. And you have to remember that. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Remember that. That's a neat little prayer. It's been around for years, and it is very important. It is short and to the point. Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid?" And he asks you the same question. Are you letting your fear keep you from being all that God created you to be? Are you letting your fear keep you from doing things that you don't think you could succeed at, but God knows you can? Do you have fear because you lack faith in God? That you lack faith in Christ? Think about it. The disciples said, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Yes, they do. Everything obeys Christ. And because of that, we know, or we should know, that anything we ask him, or anything that we try to tackle, if you go to him first, not as a last resort, but go to him first and have the faith that he can get you through it, you'll get through it. The big question in life is not the number of storms we pass through. The big question of life is whether or not we have faith during those storms. Because we're all going to encounter storms. We've all encountered storms. Sometimes it feels like God's forsaken us. Sometimes faith is critical. But stop and think about, do you believe in God who loves you and has promised never to forsake you? Do you believe that however dark the clouds may be, behind those clouds the sun is shining? Do you believe that behind every cross is an empty tomb? If you truly believe that, if you truly have that kind of faith, you can weather the storm, no matter how severe. And if you don't have that kind of faith, this morning is a great time to look at yourself and think, why? It's a time to gather that faith into you. And you can weather any storm that life throws up against you. Amen.